Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Welcome to Coffee in the Swarm, a part of Project Zion podcast. This is Mike Hoffman, campus minister at Grayson University. And today I've got Natalie Harper, who we're going to talk to and talk with today. I'm really excited about having Natalie join in this conversation. She has been involved with campus ministries. This will be her third year going into her senior year. And she's been a student pastor last year and this year. So welcome, Natalie.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Good, good. I know this is a little different because we're separated and not just actually sitting in the swarm having coffee like or having something to drink like we might do.
But in a few months we'll be able to.
That's right. Actually, it may be in a few weeks now, so we're getting close.
So
that's good. So Natalie, can you tell me what else you've been involved with at campus? I mean, obviously I know your campus ministries things, and I know a little bit, but yeah, what else have you been involved with?
So I have four majors, and I'm very involved with the academic programs. I'm a business administration, economics, accounting, and Hispanic studies major. So I spend a lot of time in the classroom, but I love it. It's fun. I'm also in community development club, Enactus, orchestra. I was a part of Senate and COSA for being a part of the house culture as well. I'm part of Amakai House. It's kind of hard to, I try to participate in as many IMs as I can. Mm-hmm. I'm not athletic at all.
For those of you listening, IMs is the code name for intramurals here at Graceland. So
sports for people that don't normally do sports. So it's perfect for me.
My gosh, I thought you were like a triple major. I didn't realize you were a quadruple major. That's just amazing to me. So, and I get that some of them are related, but that's quite an achievement. That's really good. So heavy into academics, but it doesn't sound like academics are your only part of your life. You know, sometimes we think of people who get into academics and that's what they focus on and they're not too engaged in other things, but I know you're engaged in campus ministries a lot.
Yeah. Graceland just makes it really easy to be a part of lots of different things, to focus on academics, but also focus on campus involvement and, you know, fun things too. So that's why Graceland was the perfect school for me.
Yeah.
Because I knew they would let me, be a part of music, be a part of student leadership, as well as being rigorous academics.
Yeah. So, Natalie, where do you call home?
Lee Summit, Missouri.
Lee Summit. So that's what I was thinking. So just wanted to make sure. So, well, very good. Well, appreciate knowing even more about you than I already thought I knew. So that's great. So there's, I don't think it's going to surprise anyone right now when we're having this conversation. There is a lot of news going on, a lot of things going on worldwide. You know, we're in the middle of the pandemic. COVID-19, the United States is, if it's not finished, we're still in a lot of what we might call civil unrest, and I don't mean that in a negative term, but things about racial inequalities and injustices going on, and certainly there's things going on that way, and there's other issues going on. So what's your take? I mean, you know, in terms of anything going on, and, you know, that might include immigration and LGBTQ rights going on right now.
The more I learn about different worldviews and stuff, either from like an economic standpoint or a humanitarian standpoint, using my, economics degree and my Hispanic studies degree, like I've learned about all these issues from different viewpoints. And basically throughout my education experience at Graceland University, I've learned that, wow, there's a lot of programs and a lot of like culture things that really need to be changed. So I think that everything that's going on right now it's actually long overdue. I mean, maybe not the pandemic necessarily,
yeah,
but like racial injustice, the fact that it's been legal to discriminate against LGBTQ persons in the workplace until just a couple of weeks ago or in early June. Yeah. Like, I thought that was already illegal. So I was shocked to hear that it wasn't illegal until now. So I think it's all of these problems that are coming to light. I think it's going to be really good in a couple of years to be able to actively work on improving these things.
Yeah, you mentioned to me that you did a senior paper or project,
mm-hmm,
on immigration.
Yeah, so I just completed my economics research seminar class. That's basically the last class I have to take for the economics program, and in that class, I was allowed to research basically any topic I wanted as long as it pertained to economics. And then I wrote I think it was 25 pages at the end, and I wrote it about immigration and how legal immigration should be easier and more efficient everywhere. And I wrote it just, you know, I had to back my research up using economic statistics, of course.
Sure.
But I also included in the paper that, you know, you can't put a price on how beneficial it is to have like cultural diversity within a country. So really the impact of immigration is priceless. And so that's why I was very thrilled when the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the DACA program, which protects kids that have been brought into the country that weren't necessarily born in the United States, but only know the United States as home. So President Trump had been trying to basically ban this program, and the Supreme Court said that that was unconstitutional. So I was very happy to hear that news. I think that is a step in the right direction in terms of making it easier to legalize immigration.
Yeah. So was DACA specifically part of your paper, or was it just immigration?
It wasn't necessarily part of my paper, but it is an issue that I have been following for a while, especially because I am a Hispanic studies major.
Oh, right.
And so like, that is something that I deeply care about is, you know, that's, you know, part of worth of all persons, you know, relating it back to the enduring principles, like, no human can be illegal. Like, it's, you know,
yeah,
we're all human, and everyone's just trying to make a better life for themselves, make a better life for their families. And it's wrong to say that humans are illegal.
So, Natalie, besides immigration and the DACA program, you've mentioned LGBT, rights and those kinds of things that have just recently been extended or approved again.
I just think this year, 2020, has basically just been like basically a giant sign to stop all forms of discrimination. So trying to stop discrimination against people of color with the different protests that are going on, because, police brutality is a lot worse for people of color. And really, there shouldn't be police brutality at all for anyone, especially people of color. Like, it's disproportionately affects those communities, discrimination against those with different sexualities and romantic interests, discrimination against immigration statuses, and even healthcare discrimination. I took a class last year called Public Finance, and we talked a lot about different healthcare systems around the world. And basically, the United States has one of the most expensive healthcare systems, like per capita, despite being a private healthcare system and not a public healthcare system. So medical costs are extremely higher in the US compared to other countries that are similar to the U.S. And I think the pandemic is challenging that, like saying, you know, we can't tie health insurance to employment because of how many people lost their jobs during the pandemic. Yeah. And then just how, like, I saw on the news, like, there was one guy that was in the ICU for like 30 days recovering from coronavirus, and he had $1 million hospital bill.
Wow.
Like, that's so, not.
So when you talk about healthcare discrimination, you're really talking about the economics of it.
Yeah. Okay. Like, just not being able to afford to go to the doctor.
Exactly. Okay. So that really, you know, one of Community of Christ's, mission initiatives is abolish poverty and suffering. And I can't mm-hmm. think any more of how, such an example we're living through in the pandemic. When you talk about a healthcare system that stops people from getting adequate healthcare or allows it to happen, but then has these incredibly large bills where they might declare bankruptcy or have to declare bankruptcy just because they can't afford it. So, go ahead.
Oh, and then like the stimulus checks coming out, but then not being fairly distributed. Like some people are getting them and some people aren't getting them despite having the, you know, same need or, if they lost their jobs or reduced hours, which is.
Or if they didn't lose their jobs. I mean, some of us who remain employed, we're still getting checks, you know, got stimulus checks, which is helpful, but it's not like it's, you know, it's really a challenge to say, okay, how's that? Of course, we also, many of us don't know how much longer any position will go on or, you know, mm-hmm. our position. So I suppose that's part of it. So
yeah, lots of unknowns.
Yeah. So, here. You know, relating it to Christ's mission a little bit, you talked about the worth of all persons, which, you know, is one of our enduring principles, but is there anything in particular, you know, that's happening in the U.S. that you would also see as a part of our mission in addition to that? I mean, is there, you know, you've actually participated in INSPIRE, so is there, which is a program, you know, a Community of Christ leadership program here at Graceland that focuses on mission and understanding mission. Do you see anything particular about racial injustice or even the pandemic as far as what life might be like when we return to campus in the fall, or maybe the other issues you've mentioned too about immigration or LGBT rights?
So I'm very excited that Graceland released a plan for us all to be able to come back on campus in the mm-hmm. fall. It's not going to be the same, of course, because, you know, we're not going to be able to sit close to each other. We're not going to be able to, you know, do like hands-on activities, like different like social activities, like all of that is going to change. But I was talking with you earlier, Mike, about like the sacrifices I would have been willing to make in order to come back to campus.
Yes.
Basically, I was willing to do a lot more extreme things to be back on campus.
When you say extreme things, you mean protective like, things. I mean,
more extreme protective things. Like, you know, like, I don't want to give Graceland any ideas, so I'm not going to name them. Like, I was willing to basically give
wear
up
a lot space suit.
I was willing to give up a lot of freedoms to be on campus.
And to some degree, I mean, I know we've seen a plan announced and those kinds of things. Of course, there's also changes going on with the pandemic. Right now, we're in another period where, at least in some states, it's going back up again, and it's, you know, it's pretty intense. It seems with younger people right now, that trend is going up. But at the same time, I think, you know, when we come back to Graceland, we will see each other. We'll be able to communicate. I think it's going to be, you know, we're right now, on campus, we're looking at capacity of rooms and how does that shape what we're doing and, you know, like, we may still have some meetings virtually, even if all the students are on campus, just to reduce the risk. I mean, and, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things about Graceland I love is the fact that we've got some really incredible, especially with the Newcomb Student Union now open, we we have some beautiful new meeting rooms, but I can see there's so many organizations that need to have meeting space, you know, and because of the capacity, limiting capacity because of social distancing, it could get a little complicated, but I remember you saying all the things you're willing to sacrifice to come back to campus. So Natalie, will you have a roommate when you come back to campus?
Yeah, I'm going to be in the campus apartments, which is, they're right across from the guys' dorms. I'm going to be rooming with Haley Condit,
who is
also an Inspire student.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and you've decided, I guess it's been a while since I've been over to see the apartment. So you each will have your own separate bedroom though, right?
Yeah. So,
and bathroom too.
Yeah. Each student gets their own bedroom, their own bathroom, and their own closet. And you share a kitchen and a living room / kitchen area.
So there's still some common areas where you might have to be a little careful with each other, but
yeah, and we'll have to be careful when inviting friends over.
Yeah.
Of course, like, you know, like food prep as well. Like we'll have to go to the stores every once in a while, whether that be Hy-Vee in Lamoni or Walmart in Bethany or Osceola, because you can't get everything in Lamoni.
Well, I get that. So, that's part of living in Lamoni and that kind of thing. And I've been actually I've been to both of those stores in the pandemic. Lamoni, actually, I don't know if students would take advantage of this, but what I love about it in Lamoni is you can order online and then just drive up and pick it up and they'll bring your groceries out to you.
So I feel very fortunate that I'm both old enough and also like financially able to live in the apartment, because I feel like that is one of the safest living arrangements. But I know like a really big concern for moving students back on campus is going to be living in the residence halls. So my brother is going to be an incoming freshman. And so he's going to be living in the residence hall. And in Graceland's plan, they are opening up, if you want to have a single occupancy room, even if you're a freshman, you are allowed to claim that. Like, they're making sure, like, more are going to be available. My brother is still choosing to be with a roommate, and he's going to be rooming with one of his best friends. And they're, you know, they both respect what's going on, and they're going to respect the rules. You know, it's still the risk of living in such close proximity to, you know, neighbors on the hall, you know, using the same restrooms, using the same lounge spaces. So I know that's a big concern.
Yes.
And will continue to be a big concern.
Yes. And I think the university is going to put some steps in place to, you know, to help measure students and make sure that I take their temperature, you know, measure their temperatures and things. And, you know, I think we also expect students, I think, to be really forthright in, like, if they have any symptoms, you know, like, I don't know if it's come over our recording this morning or today, but, you know, I have a bit of a cough, but I also have incredibly seasonal allergies that affect me. So, you know, I don't show any other signs of COVID-19, but, you know, so those kinds of issues can affect people's perceptions around you, you know, so I have my, you know, my handy dandy mask and those
things. I know, yesterday I was in the store and I had to sneeze and I was wearing my mask. So I sneezed in my mask and I got some looks. I'm like, it was just a sneeze.
I know. And sneezing doesn't seem to be part of COVID-19. I keep reading the expanding list of things. So it's like, so let's go back to talking about, you know, you mentioned two important issues, immigration and the LGBT, as well as the social justice issues. You know, you've been at Graceland a couple of years, 3 years, and going into your fourth. And so are those issues, how do you perceive those issues at Graceland? I mean, you know, for instance, I don't know if immigration, but certainly how would you classify or describe or talk about the racial justice or injustice at Graceland? Do you see things here that...
There is an excellent club on campus called the Black Student Union, BSU.
Yeah.
And this is one of the best organizations on campus. Like, they organize so many events. They take over the entire month of February for Black History Month. And so I've definitely learned a lot through this organization. I've learned a lot through the organization, but then that makes me realize I haven't learned a lot about these issues, like, in an education setting, especially, like, my, you know, public school, you know, going to, like, a public middle school and public high school and, you know, here in Lee Summit. And so, like, that made me realize that there's a lot of systematic things that are, you know, still in place that, you know, keep a lot of issues in the dark when they need to be brought to light. So I've definitely been appreciative of BSU for, you know, taking the challenge to take, like, the education and action approach towards, you know, reducing the problems on campus. And I know there are still a lot of racial tensions on campus. I mean, I haven't, you know, campus hasn't been.
We haven't been together.
We haven't been together since the, you know, all of the recent protests happened. But there have been some incidents through the years of, you know, people using racial slurs and saying really mean, like, critiques of projects. And, you know, I just hope people learn that those things are not okay to say. It's not okay to have the mindset that, you know, one race or one background is superior than the other. And I know this is going to be a challenge for many years to come, but I just hope that, you know, with more, you know, people getting more comfortable calling their friends out for bad behavior, that things can get better.
Yeah, those are some important things. I agree with you. I mean, in terms of, I think you said something about a lot of tension at Graceland. Of course, I know, as two white people sitting here talking about this, you know, sometimes it's hard to pick up on all the tension that goes on. At least maybe I'm a little more insulated from others in that way. But it's just like a really important issue. And as a student pastor, you know, with representing a faith community that really does believe in the worth of all persons and those kinds of things, have you had to step into conversations or tense moments, either in class or out of class or anything like that?
Yeah, like I've definitely had some conversations, or I like to listen to what people have to say, and I don't necessarily critique them then and there while I'm listening to them, because I think it's important for people to have an outlet, someone that will listen to them. But so I don't call people out in the moment, and maybe I should. That's just not something, because I want to be, like, you know, a trusted, like, listener first. But I've definitely heard some things that were not nice about people of certain backgrounds, whether that be, you know, different race, different sexual orientation. And in the moment, I just listen, because I want people to trust me to listen to those things. But then later, when people have calmed down, I've had some time to think of a good response so that I don't make someone mad. I later talk to them and say, you know, hey, this is not an okay thing to say. Like, could really hurt some feelings. You know, this is, you know, people can't control, like, you know, they can't control who they're attracted to. They can't control the race that they were born as. So it's, you know, not fair to have those judgments. And, you know, people are people. Like, you know, everyone is worthy of being here. Everyone is worthy of having a good experience on campus, you know, education-wise, social-wise. So I do try to tell people that, hey, this is, like, not okay, but...
So you sort of correct them in private then, or say something.
Yeah.
Rather than in public, yeah.
And, you know, I'm still learning. Like, I'm only 21, so I'm still learning how to, you know, tackle these issues because, you know, I haven't been like professionally trained on how to confront people. And so I'm just, you know, trying to point out these things like as a friend, you know, not trying to make people mad, but, you know, just try to kind of be like, hey, like, that's not okay.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, our leadership team for Campus Ministries has sort of identified the issue of radical love going into the, and, you know, and sort of making that our theme, whether that's the exact words or not. And then there's also the work that Inspire is doing. Will sort of focus, I shouldn't say sort of, will focus on nonviolence in preparation for the 2022 Community of Christ World Conference. Do you see those elements, you know, reflected in what you're talking about, either radical love or acts of nonviolence or nonviolence as a subject? I mean, it's a...
Because I try to take an educational approach to solving problems instead of course, like fighting it out, whether that's like verbally fighting it out or, you know, throwing punches. That's not my style.
Certainly. I do know that about you. Absolutely.
One time we were trying to do, choreograph an air band dance and it had to look like we were throwing punches. And I didn't even like make the right shape in my hand. I wasn't forming my hand correctly to do the punch. So it looked out of place. So people had to teach me how to throw a punch so that I could like look like I was throwing a punch. Yeah, so that shows how nonviolent I am.
Well, and for those of you that are listening and might not be familiar with air band is a over 30-year tradition now at Graceland during homecoming, which houses, they pair up. Usually there's a women's house and a men's house, and they pair up and then they perform to, it's really exciting, to music, and they dance and they move around, and it's quite a production. So I don't know if you've heard, Natalie, because of the pandemic, homecoming is going to be moved to the spring this year. So even though there will be obviously there'll still be football games and some things going on here on campus, you know, it's sort of being reshaped a little bit, but I think they're still trying to hope for air band, at least at the spring homecoming.
So. I know they like specifically put air band in the announcement.
In the announcements, yeah.
We'll try to have it later, which I think that's a good call because definitely are in close proximity during air band practices and of course performance. And then during the performance, people get like lifted up and you know, you're very close to people.
So right. I mean, I guess you could do air band with social distancing, but it would be very different. And yeah. mask. Well, maybe you could be incorporated into. So let's shift gears here just a little bit. You know, we've talked about you being involved in Campus Ministries and Inspire. So, you know, not so much these issues, but they certainly shape who we are and what we're talking about today. You know, where do you see the church going in the future? You've been a member of Community of Christ since you were 8. Did you get baptized at 8?
Yeah, I was baptized at 8.
So, you know, I consider you one of the important leaders now and into the future. So, you know, where do you see the church going in the future, or how it will, maybe how all of the things that are happening now might change the church in the future?
Yeah. So I think continuing revelation is one of the most important things that the church can continue to do. So I've admired that the church is very, very quick to like send out statements in support of like the protests for Black Lives Matter, for, you know, advocating for acceptance of LGBTQ, that they're very quick to, like, be supportive of, like, the direction where the people are going. And so, like, I think it's very important that the church is following the people instead of vice versa. So, like, we can be the church community that the people want and deserve. Because I feel like a lot of churches are kind of stuck in their ways of, this is how we've always done it. This is how we've always approached these issues. And that is, you know, that turns a lot of people away that don't necessarily agree with that. So I admire that the church is being proactive about, like, being able to publicly share its support, for willing to change how things are done. And I think that is very effective. I know, like, not everyone likes that, you know, different strokes for different folks. But I think for, you know, trying to be a church in the 21st century and, you know, maybe the 20, hopefully the 22nd century too.
In your lifetime, yeah, that could be.
In my lifetime. Yeah. I think that's very good. And I hope the church continues to do that.
So, you know, the words that came to mind, I don't know if they're, in years past, and of course, because I'm older than you, it may be before you knew these terms, but I remember several years ago that we were called to be a prophetic people, you know, not just a people with prophetic leadership. And what you just described sounds like, you know, it's sort of like that, that, you know, that as a people, we feel led and inspired and moved by the Spirit of God. And so, and it's hard to separate our leaders, you know, now, who are sharing in prophetic leadership, as well as the sense of people have in terms of being prophetic. So that's really profound. So thanks for sharing that. Do you, you know, do you see anything else about the future of the church? I mean, it sounds like a crystal ball and I'm trying to get to predict things, but not really predict things. It's like, where would, you know, I guess where would you like to see the church is, or besides what you've mentioned already, are there other things that,
Yeah. So, I like how there's different avenues for, you know, changing the going to church experience. Like,
oh yeah.
So like, I know a lot of congregations, typically just have the worship service Sunday morning and then maybe a Wednesday night prayer service, or, at my congregation, there's, like youth classes on Wednesday nights, like Bible studies and, like middle school and high school class as well. But I like how people are, you know, changing the narrative of that a little bit, because, you know, going to church Sunday morning doesn't necessarily work for everyone. You know, if they, you know, if that's like their one day they can sleep in after, you know, a busy work schedule, or, you know, they want to be with their family or friends on a weekend. And so I like how in Central Mission, we have a new congregation called Impact that meets Sunday nights, and it's still an official congregation, but they don't have like the, you go in, sit in a pew and listen to someone speak. It's very like interactive. It's a small group, so everyone gets a chance to talk. They talk about the different scriptures that are going on, and everyone can, you know, pipe in, like, this is how this is relevant to me. This is what I think about it. And they always have food, whether that's snacks or a meal, depending on like when they meet. And so, and this is like this church has like millennials and like Gen Z in mind. And so I think that's really cool that there's like different like experiments going on to,
yeah,
find a church for all the different people.
So are all those things still happening now virtually?
So not as much virtually, because it was kind of dependent on being in person. But yeah. I know there are, you know, once like the cure, the vaccine comes out, or it's safe to gather again, they'll be in full swing again.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. The reason I ask, I guess, is just that I know in my own experience, it's like, church has changed for me to be more, you know, to be through Zoom or some other social media, or, you know, and it's opened my mind to the possibilities of things like you sitting in Lee's Summit and me sitting in Lamoni visiting like this. I mean, you know, this is not something we would have done normally in the summer. You would have been gone all summer away. away from campus, and I may or may not have called you or emailed you. Yeah, you know, but
yeah, if we were doing, if my plans hadn't been changed by coronavirus, I would be in Colorado right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because
you on the Adventurers reunion.
Yeah. So you. Yeah. So another thing that's been reshaped is summer. I mean, because I've seen the events I was going to this summer have been canceled. I mean, you know, so things like Spectacular, which would have been really impossible to do virtually, but one of the reunions that is was sort of at a primitive campground or a more rustic campground, you know, was canceled as well. And youth camps, I know some have become virtual and some, you know, so, mm-hmm. you know, so have you participated in anything like that virtually?
So I'm working with the Central Mission this summer, and we are currently working on coming up with a summer program. And we're going to have t-shirts because you can't have a camp without a t-shirt. We're working on like different activities for every day where people can complete the projects and challenges at home and then share what they did on a group me so that there's still that sense of community. Because I know people have definitely felt the absence of being able to be a part of a community physically, and you know, there's only so much you can do virtually, but it's still better than nothing to, you know, be able to video chat and stuff like that. So,
well, I think one of the things, it's like me, like, even though we spent a lot of time together, sometimes our time has been more transactional, which sounds really negative, but it, you know, it's like you and I meet together and we plan what's coming up or we, you know, do something. We just don't sit and chat like we are now, you know? And so I think that, you know, this might open some doors that way where people could actually do that. So, yeah. So is there anything else stirring your spirit right now? I mean, like, I don't know. I don't really, you know, are there other things that you'd like to talk about that, you know?
Yeah, I'm just excited for people to, I'm just excited to see how the world is going to change once, you know, doors can open again, because I know for certain nothing is going to be how it was. I think we're going to appreciate community more, you know, appreciate the blessing that community is, because now we know what it is like to not have that. Like, I know even going to Graceland, even though, you know, might not have like New Year's in November or things like that, like, I'm still going to be just really appreciative that I can, you know, be on campus and see people, even if I can't touch people or be close to people, still be really close. So I'm just really excited for how all of these different events are going to change, and hopefully change, it will change for the better. Like, I really don't see how things could get worse, because all of these things are being challenged and people are going to realize that how things were before just doesn't work. And, you know, now everyone has been forced to experience how it doesn't work. So I'm really excited and optimistic about how things will change for the better.
Natalie, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing with our listeners.
It's my pleasure.
I appreciate your optimism and positive outlook for the future, despite the times we find ourselves in. So, all right. Well, if all goes well, I should see you in a few weeks back on campus.
So. Oh, yes. Counting down the days.
Absolutely. Well, right. Thank you. Thank you again.
Yeah. Anytime.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.